certainly in 10 years, it could come in 5 years, when Japan has major problems. I think a major problem, not just economically, but I think the Japanese I'm not referring to the Sakos, but the Tanakas, people like that. There's a new breed. The Japanese basically are a terribly ambitious, frustrated, dynamic people, and they cannot be ended. And they're going to play whoever they can, and they'll play off against us. The only thing that keeps them at the present time somewhat in our corner is the fact that they use so much economically. We're in all good customer balance and trade deficits are so good. But as time goes on, the younger elephants in Japan are going to become goddamn difficult for us. So that's why by that time we may have to play the China game a little harder than the Japanese. That's what the future knows.
Well, it may not be too much of the future, though, because I think, President, you have two major problems that if I may be presumptuous about it, suggest two of the problems that you can face.
You ought to know.
Right away. One, you and I have talked about this many times, and I'll just mention these and then leave them alone. But I mentioned both of them to George Shultz this morning. I want to tell you that he and I had breakfast this morning. I think this energy crisis is much deeper, much broader, much more severe than nearly anybody in this country realizes. And I think it's going to require a great deal of your personal understanding and attention. You could well see gasoline rationing in the United States this summer. You've got fuel rationing now, fuel oil. You've got gas rationing right now, really. And it's going to be worse next year than it is this summer, this winter. We don't have a refining capacity. And our demand increases. And this, even in this last cold spell, universities were shut down. The University of Texas, for instance, in Austin, Texas, delayed or reopening for 1 week. The San Marcos State Teachers College, where President Johnson went, could not reopen. Many industrial concerns were shut down, but the production completed because they had no fuel. The gas companies are rationing their industrial customers anytime there's a cold spell. Now, most of these customers can use fuel oil, like the utilities. They can burn fuel oil to generate electricity, but it's more expensive for them, so they like gas, plus the environmentalists, for example, they burn fuel oil. So they don't like to do it. Fuel oil now is being laid down on the East Coast at over $6 a barrel. I will not be at all surprised to see crude oil laid down if you can get it on the East Coast of the United States this year at $5 a barrel. The idea that domestic crude is going to kick the lid of the ceiling is not going to happen. Foreign crude is really going to happen before the price increase is going to happen for domestic crude, because this is one of the things that the OPEC nations are doing. They're in fact taking over control of the oil itself and marketing it. They're going to market it to the highest bidder. And the highest bidders are going to be Japan and Germany and Italy. So the United States is going to have to posture itself very quickly to get in a position where, as a nation, we can compete with other nations in buying oil. The oil companies can't do it. I would predict that in this year, if not more than 18 months, you're going to see a complete revolution of the manner of production and sale of oil and pricing of crude products around the world. It's going to have a hell of an impact on this country. This is just to pose a problem. It's also part of the overall bigger problem that you're going to be confronted with in this session in Congress. And that's your basic trade problems. You're going to get a trade bill in this session, whether you like it or whether you don't. I personally think you ought to really take after this trade thing. I think you ought to have a completely new talk him on. You can just tell him, I'll take all you produce. You can make anything you want to with the soldiers or ventilator. But you may have to be selective. In other words, we can't just say to the world, we're going to treat you all alike. I don't think that game's going to play anymore. And so you can use your import program as a mechanism for getting into this selective treatment of producing countries to get you the oil we need. But it's a major new initiative that could take the country, be extremely significant in your relationships with Congress, with the people as a whole. It can help you buy some papers. And if you tie that to a trade bill, in effect, say that the Congress giving you the authority that under certain conditions, at any time there is a massive penetration of the market by one country, such as Japan did on radio and television, give me the authority to impose tariffs, quotas, or even to totally suspend the importation of those items. Where there's a massive flooding of the American market by any country with any commodity. Give me the authority to impose tariffs, rates, or impose quotas, or totally prohibit the importation of items where there is an emergency in our balance of pay or in our trade balance. That just puts you on the spot. But at the same time, it gives you the Congress. You get it in the Congress this year. You should have done. Now, the truth of the matter is, you don't get a trade bill in my judgment, because what's happened to labor is trading out much of big business today on tankers, for instance. The labor has always wanted Gus Hall, the Seafarers Union, and Frank and some of them meeting yesterday with big business. And where are they going? And they're saying, let's go together. We've been demanding 50% of all oil be hauled in American bottoms. Will you really go for something less than that? They'll go for 10-15% if the oil companies will, which oil will, and together they'll pass it. And then they pass it even if the oil companies don't join. Join with them to do what? To insist that up to 15-25% of all oil imported to the United States has to be hauled in American bottoms. Which means that oil, the price of oil itself is going up immediately when you do that because it costs more.
And what would be your attitude toward that?
I would be for it.
Would?
Yes, I think I would. For some reason, I think we're going to run over you. But more than that, the United States has to build up a tanker fleet. There are three aspects of one of the major problems this country faces in terms of raw material. Fuel is the number one raw material. You have the producing countries, you have the matter of transporting it, you have the matter of consuming it. We can't control the production of it anymore. Our American companies did for a long, long time. We can't do it anymore. The companies can't. But if we can control a substantial part of the shipping, the transportation, If we obviously have a market, if we can control two out of the three ingredients, we can protect ourselves.
Yeah, so the market and shipping.
That's correct. And this is why El Paso made their deal with the Algerians. They said, no, we're going to own the ships. You have liquefaction money. But if you don't sell it, you can't sell it anybody because the money doesn't have the ship, we're going to have it. And they told them, this is what we've got to do with the Russians. We'll say to the Russians, that's fine, we'll have put this whole deal together. We're going to own the ships. You can't let any country own both the producing aspects of it and the transportation of it, because we're ready for their mercy. We're done with their mercy. So this whole, you can't, and this further, this, I don't like the feel of this thing now. Look what's happening in the face of a truly good year last year. Really good in terms of the fight against inflation, economic expansion, the number of people employed, the profits of the companies. Every index you had was good last year. You got peace and the stock market goes down, and the dollar weakens in all the markets of the world. Why? Why should we come in? In addition to that, but any one of them, you put out $2 billion transaction. Enormous. $4 billion with Japan, $2 billion with Canada, and $1 billion with the rest of the world. You can't stand it. If you do, if you have another year like that, you're going to have another money crisis. You're going to have another devaluation of the dollar. You sure as hell. So, it seems to me that you have two great opportunities here on two issues that people can understand. And I have fully developed why I think your positions ought to be. But number one is this energy crisis. Number two is the whole trade field. On the energy crisis, I think I'd do three things. I think I would. I completely revamped the import program, and I'm not sure how to do it yet. I haven't thought it all out. But secondly, I would form an economic resources corporation. Or I think I would. Which is wholly owned by the government. Just like during the war, we had these corporations involved, tin and rubber and so forth. You remember?
Yes, sir.
I'd form an energy resources corporation, wholly owned. Then I would say, publicly, of course, with the Congress, that I would make a tender offer to every major American oil company that has reserves overseas of a million barrels or more, that we will acquire, we make a tender offer to acquire 50% of your reserves at a negotiated price to be agreed upon. I'd buy an interest in their reserves, not that the reserves that we now have up to in terms of making profit and production, but at least it gives you a handle on the control of that oil. Then you can say to the Saudis, you can say to the Libyans, you can say to the Shah, look, you're not taking this Gulf oil, you're not taking Standard oil, you're taking our oil. Now, this is a hell of a hard game to play with. But if you don't, Japan 3 weeks ago bought British Petroleum Reserves in Abu Dhabi, $780 million. Japan, as soon as the Shah announced what he was going to do in Iran, the Japanese dealt with it. As a government. And we've got to face up to the fact that our American companies can no longer stand against the sovereign countries, either in terms of producing the oil or the marketing of it or the purchasing of it. Just keep good. So, This I think, as much as I now think I would never come out of this war, I think part of getting out of the war is just going to get in. You've got to get in.
Whoever be thinking of that.
That's right. Well, strange enough, you see, here's the fickle fate of fortune. 5 years ago, Great Britain, everybody assumed they were terminally deficient. Now, the head of British Petroleum told me 2 weeks ago that within 2 or 3 years, Great Britain will be sufficient in oil and gas for as far as they can see the coast of the North Sea. They're going to be savage
coming on for that time.
That's right. And we're going to be deficient. We're going to be deficient. And nobody ever thought this would happen. This means that the Alaska pipeline ought to be built tomorrow. You would have what the environment would say. I just think it'll be built tomorrow. And I just think that this is a